British Sky Broadcasting presents a Warner Brothers picture, The Lost Boys, starring Jason Patrick as Michael, Corey Haim as Sam, Diane Wiest as Lucy, and Kiefer Sutherland as David. Directed by Joel Schumacher. Audio described by Liam McLaughlin. The inky blue sea by night. The moon's white glow is stretched along the scene, reflecting off the dark ripples and waves. As the moonlight disappears, new lights are visible reflecting onto the sea, and a fairground on the coastline appears. Multicolored Ferris wheels spin, and a large roller coaster dotted with yellow lights dominates the scene. At the fair, children are riding a carousel. A menacing-looking man, David, dressed in black with a black trench coat and spiked-up blonde hair, stalks across the boardwalk of the carousel, followed by three other guys dressed similarly, all checking out the scene. David spots a pretty girl and arrogantly touches his hand to her face. His companion attempts to do the same, only for her boyfriend to aggressively push him off. A scuffle ensues, but David coldly grabs the boyfriend's face, preparing to do something terrible. Suddenly, a baton is put around his neck and the security guard breaks up the fight.
I told you to stay off the boardwalk.
The other three guys stare at the guard, not knowing what to do. David considers for a moment.
Okay, boys, let's go.
The guard removes the baton from his neck, and the three guys jump off the carousel, smirking nonchalantly. David stares at the guard, then leaves too. The guard turns to the girl and her boyfriend.
You two, off the boardwalk.
As he swaggers off the carousel, David looks at another girl lustily and smiles to himself. Next, the fairground is closing down. Lights are switched off on the stalls, walkways and rides, casting eerie shadows across the scene. As a car leaves behind him, the guard walks alone through the now empty parking lot towards his own car. The guard suddenly turns and sees something terrifying. He holds his hat onto his head as he runs to his car. He desperately tries to open the door, but it is locked. The door is violently torn off, and the guard is dragged off into the mist. Next. Daylight over the coast. Brothers Michael and Sam are in a car with their mother, Lucy.
Keep going.
Hey, I like that song.
Keep going, Mark.
Oh, how about this?
I don't see any boogeymen or nasty guys.
That's crazy old soldier.
Pretty cool, Mommy. You want to switch the dial? This jam's quite good.
Gosh, you guys are rough.
Is pain, discomfort, manipulation?
Oh, mellow.
Wait, that's from my era. Grooving on a Sunday afternoon.
Keep going.
Hey, we're almost there.
What was that smell?
That's the ocean air.
Smells like someone died.
Honey, look, guys, I know the last year hasn't been easy, but I think you're really gonna like living in Santa Carla.
Michael looks doubtful. Downtown Santa Carla. Teenagers loiter outside shops smoking. Girls with dyed hair converse with each other. A depressed looking man with a graying beard wears a black hood. Kids with green mohicans sit smoking. At the fairground, people are enjoying the rides. Hundreds of bill posters for UFO sightings and missing persons flap in the wind. Sam, with his husky on a lead, runs towards his mother Lucy, who is standing at the car. Michael talks with a man.
Is there any jobs around here?
Nothing legal.
Sam orders some hot dogs whilst Michael gears up his motorbike. At the fairground, people are enjoying the rides and games. A car comes past, with someone's feet sticking out the window. Sam, Michael and Lucy are back in the car. Lucy smiles as if to try to ignore the strangeness of the town. Sleazy topless men stare at women as they pass by. More missing children posters appear. A kid with a red Mohican looks tiredly across the beach packed with swimmers and sunbathers. Goths in strange makeup smoke. A guy runs through the streets, pushing another guy in a shopping trolley. The roller coaster storms past. The car is now passing along a track in the green grassy hills, dust clouding up behind it. Michael rides behind on his motorbike. They pull into the driveway of a large ramshackle wooden house. There are strange wooden sculptures and wind chimes everywhere.
Come on, Enoch.
Sam stares at the bizarre garden as a shed door squeaks open. Lucy looks over at the porch. There is a large man with a blue shirt lying still on it. She approaches, slightly worriedly, and kneels at his side.
Dad? Dad?
Looks like he's dead.
No, he's just a deep sleeper.
If he's dead, can we go back to Phoenix?
Playing dead. And from what I heard, doing a damn good job of it, too.
Dad! Oh, Dad.
The brothers look at each other. Next, inside the shady wooden house.
This is a pretty cool place.
Here for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Come on, Sam, give Mom a break.
What's wrong with this picture? There's no TV. Have you seen a TV? I haven't seen a TV, Mike.
You know what it means when there's no TV? No MTV.
Sammy, her flat broke.
Outside, Lucy is with her father unloading the car.
Lucy, you're the only woman I ever knew didn't improve her situation by getting divorced.
Yeah, I know. But a big legal battle wasn't going to improve anybody's situation. You know, Dad, we've all been through enough. You know, anyway, I was raised better than that.
Hey, ouch! My hair!
Michael is chasing Sam through the house.
Mom, are you going to help me?
Sam slides open a door with Michael behind him. The room is full of models of animals and skeletons, all bathed in an eerie red glow.
Talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Rules! We got some rules around here. Second shelf is mine. That's where I keep my root beers and my double-thick Oreo cookies. Nobody touches the second shelf but me. Now, there's another rule around here, and I want you to pay close attention.
Don't touch anything.
Everything is exactly where I
want
it to
hey,
be.
Hey, Grandpa, is it true that Santa Carla is the murder capital of the world?
Well, there are some bad elements around here.
Wait a second, let me get this straight. Are you telling me that we moved to the murder capital of the world? Are you serious, Grandpa?
Well, now let me put it this way. If all the corpses buried around here was to stand up all at once, we'd have one hell of a population problem.
Sam blinks in disbelief.
Great, Dad.
Now, on Wednesdays, when the mailman brings a TV guide, sometimes the address label is curled up just a little like that. Now, he'll be tempted to tear it off. Don't. You'll only wind up ripping the cover, and I don't like that. And stay out of here.
Wait. You have a TV?
No. I just like to read the TV guide. Read the TV guide. You don't need a TV.
The moon glints off the dark sea. At the fairground, hundreds of teenagers, some with coloured balloons, are excitedly watching a concert. The topless singer juts his hips to the rhythm. Sam and Michael watch with smirks. A girl appears, dancing her way through the crowd, holding the hand of a small boy. Michael sees her, then stares as she dances past. The girl stands up and brushes her hair back, smiling. Michael stares seriously at her. Sam turns to see what he's staring at, grimaces disapprovingly, and tries to turn Michael's head back to the stage. The girl notices Michael staring and slows her dancing, turning her gaze to the stage each time they meet eyes. Michael grins at the girl, then she suddenly turns and runs away into the crowd. Michael immediately follows. Meanwhile, Lucy is walking along the seafront. She sees a woman pasting up a missing poster. They catch eyes and Lucy looks embarrassed. Then she sees a help wanted sign in the window of a shop. She raises her eyebrows, then approaches a seemingly lost child. The shopkeeper notices Lucy and smiles. As the shopkeeper stares, David and his gang wander into the shop casually. A dog growls. Lucy and the lost child enter the shop.
Excuse me, I wonder if you could help us. This little boy is lost and we were wondering if his mother might be in here.
I don't
really know.
Terrible.
Oh, how great.
Don't run off.
There you are.
Thank you. Bye, Terry.
Yeah, really come here to watch one thing.
The shopkeeper offers Lucy a lollipop.
Well done.
No, thanks. Well, second thought.
I told you not to come in here anymore.
The shopkeeper stares harshly at the four guys. They stare back, and one condescendingly gives the okay sign. Then they leave. The shopkeeper turns back to Lucy.
Wild kids.
Oh, they're just young. We were that age too once.
They skid away on their motorbikes.
I think they dress better. Bye-bye.
You have a generous nature. I like that in a person. My name's Max.
I'm Lucy.
How are you?
Hello.
That's my dog, Thorn.
Hi, Thorn.
Say hello, Thorn. Well, how may I help you this evening? We have it all. The best selection of videotapes in Santa Carla.
No, actually, I'm not looking for a tape. What I need is...
A job?
It's a job. Yeah, I look that needy, huh?
The girl leads the little boy away, closely followed by Sam and Michael.
So where are we going?
Nowhere.
So what's our rush? You're chasing that girl, aren't you? Come on, admit it, you're chasing her. I'm at the mercy of your sex plans, bud.
Sam, don't you have something better to do than follow me around all night?
Yeah. Actually, I do.
With awe, Sam enters a large comic book shop. He walks along one aisle slowly, regarding all the different comics, then picks one up and studies the front cover. A boy emerges from behind a pillar and stares at Sam, who notices, then ignores him and goes back to his comic. He sees another guy staring, then gingerly puts back the comic. He decides to walk off, but both guys follow.
Got a problem, guys?
Just scoping your civilian wardrobe.
Pretty cool, huh?
For a fashion victim.
Listen, buddy, if you're looking for the diet frozen yogurt bar, it went out of business last summer.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Only five in existence.
Four, actually. I'm always looking out for the other three. Look, you can't put the Superman number 77s with the 200s. They haven't even discovered red kryptonite yet. And you can't put the number 98 with the 300s. Lori Lamaris hasn't even been introduced.
Where the hell are you from? Krypton?
Phoenix, actually. But lucky me, we moved here.
There is a crowd at the front of the shop. One of the guys hands Sam a vampire comic.
Take this.
I don't like horror comics.
You'll like this one, Mr. Phoenix. It could save your life.
One of the crowd snatches a comic and runs off. The guys chase. Sam looks confusedly at the comic. Next, the girl with the little boy walks through the crowd and approaches David and his gang, who are waiting on their bikes. The girl mounts up behind David, and the little boy goes behind one of the others. They rev their bikes. Michael and Sam approach and see them. David smiles at Michael challengingly. They speed off as the girl turns over her shoulder to see Michael. Next, a couple in the back seat of a car. The guy is trying to kiss the girl, but she is reading a magazine and keeps brushing him off, then slaps him. Suddenly, she becomes worried.
What was that?
What was what?
I thought I heard something.
Forget it.
As the guy kisses the girl, the roof of the car is ripped off and the man is dragged up into the sky. The girl is terrified and tries to crawl away, but she is also caught. Next, Grandpa is showing Sam his car in the garage.
Well, how do you like that baby, huh?
It's beauty.
Come on, let's get in.
Wait, can I drive on the way back?
Yeah, fat chance. Nobody drives this baby but me.
Sam and his grandpa get into the car. Then, grinning, Grandpa turns on the ignition.
Gotta let it warm up a little. Hear that, Sam? Just like a baby pussycat. Okay, let's go to town!
He turns off the engine and gets out. Sam looks confused.
Well, we having fun or what?
I thought we were going to town.
That's as close to town as I like to get.
You're a weirdo, man.
Sam enters the comic book shop again. One of the guys notices him come in and taps the other's arm to draw his attention. They slowly and seriously approach Sam as he browses nonchalantly. He ignores them and walks along. They follow.
Notice anything unusual about Santa Carla yet?
No. It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
Are you guys sniffing old newsprint or something?
You think you really know what's happening around here, don't you? Well, I'll tell you something. You don't know shit, buddy.
Yeah. You think we just work in a comic book store for our folks, huh?
Actually, I thought it was a bakery.
This is just our cover. We're dedicated to a higher purpose. We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
Right.
Sam smirks and walks off.
Hey, man. Read this.
I told you, I don't like horror comics.
Think of it more as a survival manual. There's our number on the back. And pray you never need to call us.
I'll pray I never need to call you. Sure.
Mary, Mary, you're on my mind.
The fairground at night. People are concentratedly playing games and the rides are spinning round dizzyingly dotted with lights. Michael is wearing a leather jacket, checking himself out in a mirror. Then he walks off to watch a girl getting her ear pierced. Suddenly, the girl he followed the previous night comes up behind him.
It's a ripoff.
She walks off and Michael follows.
Hi.
If you want your ear pierced, I'll do it.
What's your name?
Star.
Oh, your folks too, huh?
What do you mean?
Ex-hippies. I came this close to being called Moonbeam or Moonchild. Something like that. But Star's great. I like Star.
Me too.
I'm Michael.
Michael. Michael's great, I like Michael.
Smoking, David watches.
Wanna get something to eat?
Okay.
Michael gets on his bike, but immediately, David and his gang roll up and surround him and Star on their bikes.
Where are you going, Star?
For a ride. This is Michael.
Let's go.
Star.
She turns to him, and he stares meaningfully at her. She considers something, then goes towards him and mounts the bike.
Hanson's bluff is overlooking the point?
I can't beat your bike.
You don't have to beat me, Michael. You just have to try and keep up.
Michael grits his teeth. David and his gang speed off down the walkway, then ride straight down the steps onto the beach, which has bonfires burning on it. Michael, who is following, stops for a moment at the steps, takes a breath, then follows. His bike slips slightly as it hits the sand, but he pulls away, chasing the others. They ride along the beach, headlights blazing, past the fairground. Star turns to see Michael riding determinedly behind them. They are enjoying it tremendously, and weave in and out of each other along the beach as the wind blows their hair behind them. They ride beneath a pier, then crest a small hill and speed off into a forest. Michael is concentrating on keeping up as Star turns over her shoulder to look at him again. They ride into a thick mist which is covering the edge of a steep white cliff, with a lighthouse shining beneath. Michael gains on Star and David. Michael keeps going, looking savagely at David. He drives faster and begins to pass David. He sees the ground ahead in his headlights, then suddenly brakes sharply and falls off his bike. The wheel is just hanging over the edge of the cliff. David pulls up slowly as Michael sees the sea raging below. He runs angrily up to David.
What the hell are you doing, huh?
No!
He punches him. The others pull him back.
Just you! Come on! Just you!
David smiles sardonically.
How far are you willing to go, Michael?
Michael looks at David with shock and mistrust. A wave crashes in as everyone with torches descends into a cave. They light the bonfires, then settle down.
The rock box, brother.
Yeah.
Not bad, huh? This was the hottest resort in Santa Carla about 85 years ago.
Too bad they built it on the fault. In 1906, when the big one hit San Francisco,
the ground opened up, this place took a header right into the crack.
He squares up to Michael.
So now it's ours.
So check it out, Mikey.
Michael, food. That's what I love about this place. You ask, and then you get.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appetizer.
David holds out a cigarette. Michael takes it.
You like it here, Michael.
Next, Sam is reading the vampire comic in his bedroom.
10 o'clock, lights out. Did you brush your teeth?
Uh-huh.
Okay, night, sweetheart.
Mom!
Huh?
He points to the cupboard.
You know, I can never sleep with a closet door open either. Not even a crack. Sam, this is a terrible thing to admit, but I think that, one of the reasons I divorced your father was because he never believed in the closet monster. Dad, you shouldn't sneak up on people like that.
Brought you something to dress up your room with, Sam.
He reveals a stuffed animal.
How do you like that, huh?
Thanks, Grandpa.
Oh, Dad, really, you shouldn't have.
Yeah. That's more where he come from. Night, Sam.
Good night, Grandpa.
Lights out.
As soon as I finish this comic, okay?
Okay. Good night, honey.
Good night, Mom.
Sam watches his mother leave. Then he looks at the stuffed animal and grimaces in disgust. He puts down his comic.
Your history, buddy.
He gets out of bed and picks up the animal and puts it in the cupboard. Next, the cave.
Oh, it's
Feeding time. Come and get it, boys.
All right.
Chinese. Good choice.
Over here, bud.
Yes, first.
You don't like rice? Tell me, Michael, how could a billion Chinese people be wrong? Come on.
Michael takes the box and begins to open it. David watches him as he begins to shovel rice into his mouth.
How are those maggots?
Michael looks up.
Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots, how do they taste?
Michael looks into his box and sees hundreds of squirming white maggots. He drops the box and immediately spits everything in his mouth out.
Leave him alone.
Pretty sad.
Michael looks at his spilt box and sees only rice on the floor. He takes some rice out of his mouth, then looks again.
Sorry about that. No hard feelings, huh? Why don't you try some noodles?
Michael looks and sees worms.
They're worms. I mean, they're worms.
Tony!
David takes a mouthful from the box, then looks at Michael.
They're only noodles, Michael.
Michael snatches the box to double check and sees only noodles.
Worms.
That's enough.
Chill out, girl.
David whispers something to another guy, and he walks off to retrieve something from a cabinet. Star watches worriedly. The guy gives a bejeweled bottle to David, who smiles and begins to open it as everybody watches. He reverently takes a drink from it, then leans towards Michael menacingly. Michael watches David and doesn't do anything. David holds the bottle out to him, and he slowly gets up and takes the bottle, examining it. He drinks some.
You're right, Michael. Michael!
Michael! Michael! Michael!
You're the best, bud.
Let the good times roll.
Michael stands swaying, looking smug and proud of himself. The others run around in celebration, swinging their jackets as the bonfires burn. Star looks out at Michael as the trance continues. The bikes approach a railway bridge, with their headlights glowing in the distance. They dismount, with Michael following.
Perfect timing.
What's going on?
Michael wants to know what's going on. Marco, what's going on?
I don't know. What's going on, Paul?
Wait a minute. Who wants to know?
Michael wants to know.
I think we should let Michael know what's going on.
Yeah.
Marco.
Good night, Michael.
Bombs away!
Marco drops down off the bridge.
Bottoms up, man.
The others calmly do the same. David turns to Michael.
Come with us, Michael.
Then drops off the bridge himself. Michael looks down to see them all hanging off bars beneath the bridge.
Hey, Michael!
Michael Emerson! Come on down!
Michael begins to tentatively climb down onto the bars and eventually manages to hang down with his legs dangling above the foggy depths below.
Welcome aboard, Michael!
Fun, huh?
A train approaches the bridge, and the guys all headbanging shake their legs in excitement. David smiles at Michael cruelly. Michael is terrified. Michael is gripping on for life when suddenly one of the guys lets go and drops down into the fog. The others follow, leaving David and Michael alone. David lets go and drops into the fog too. Michael tries to compose himself to keep a grip on the bar as the train rattles and shakes the whole bridge. He looks down periodically, then hears voices below. He makes one last attempt to pull himself up, but fails, then gradually lets himself slip off into the foggy unknown. He falls through the ghostly fog and mist, trying to work out what's going on. Michael is on his bed, fully clothed, but asleep. Sam comes into the room.
Mike! Wake up!
He opens the blinds.
It's Mom.
Mom's home?
No, on the phone, Mike.
What time is it?
It's 2:00.
Give me those sunglasses.
You need your sunglasses, talk on the phone. Are you freebasing? Inquiring minds want to know.
Michael sticks his middle finger up. Ooh. Fumbling, Michael puts the phone to his ear.
Hello?
Michael, are you still in bed?
No. I'm up.
Michael, would you do me a favor? Max asked me to go to dinner with him after work tonight. Would you stay home with Sam?
Look, Sam is old enough to stay by himself right now.
Hey, I don't need a babysitter, Mike.
Look, Michael, you know, you come home in the middle of the night, you sleep all day. I work all day. Sam is always alone. You know, it's been a long time since somebody asked me to go to dinner. I'd like to go. Okay?
Okay, Mom.
Thanks, honey. It's a real favor. Bye-bye.
Night in the garden. Shadows are cast across the wooden sculptures and leaves blow across the driveway as the wind picks up.
Anything around here that might pass for an aftershave?
Sam looks around the kitchen.
How about some Windex, Grandpa?
Yeah, let me try some of that, huh?
Sam sniffs it and wrinkles his nose. Then his grandpa sniffs some and smiles. He rubs it onto his face as Sam cracks up. Michael enters.
You have a big day tonight, Grandpa?
Yeah, I'm just gonna drop by some of my handiwork to the Widow Johnson.
What'd you stuff for, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, well, I'll see you two guys later.
That wasn't funny, Mike.
Grandpa drives off and sounds his horn. Meanwhile, Sam and Michael are still in the kitchen.
I'm gonna make you a sandwich.
Michael removes his sunglasses.
Don't bother.
Lose the earring, Michael. It's not you. It's definitely not you.
Piss off.
You know, all you do is give attitude lately. You watching too much Dynasty, bud?
The window blows open and bright lights appear outside. Pots and pans rattle together, things fall off the windowsill and the dog is unsettled. Michael rushes to see what's going on, followed by Sam. Michael walks to the door. Everything is gone when he opens it, and the leaves are still blowing across the driveway. Michael shuts the door again.
What's going on, Mike?
Go take your bath.
Michael paces slowly through the house to the kitchen, opens the fridge and takes out a carton of milk, but doubles over in pain before he can drink. He spills the milk onto the floor as he chokes. Meanwhile, Sam is singing in the bath whilst the Nook waits on the floor. Now Michael has gotten up and begins to slowly stalk up the shadowy stairs towards the bathroom door. Nanook notices something as Michael approaches the door. He pushes it open, but Nanook jumps on him aggressively. They stumble out of the room, and the door slams behind them. Sam, who was obliviously washing his hair, finally hears the racket and sits up, alert and shocked. The house is quiet and dark, with no one to be seen. Sam emerges from the bathroom wearing a bathrobe and goes down the stairs carefully in the dark.
Mike? Michael, you there? Nanook!
Sam stops and looks into the shadows beyond the rug where he can hear something.
Michael?
He switches on the light, and Michael is there on his knees, holding his left arm where his hand is cut and bleeding badly.
Mike, what happened?
Nanook.
What about Nanook? What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
Nothing, I didn't hurt him. He bit me. This is my blood.
Why'd he bite you, Mike? Huh? What would you do to him?
Michael looks at Sam, then stands up to face him.
He was protecting you.
Look at your reflection in the mirror.
Michael turns, then looks with shock and moves towards the mirror. His reflection is transparent.
Your creature of the night, Michael. Just like out of a comic book. You're a vampire, Michael. My own brother, a goddamn shit-sucking vampire. Well, you wait till Mom finds out, buddy.
Sammy, wait. Sam!
Stay back!
Just
stay
wait back. And let me talk! Wait a minute! Sam!
Sam rushes into his room and locks the doors. He finds the phone and dials a number. Meanwhile, Michael goes into his room, turns off the lights, and lies on his bed in fear. Next, Sam is on the phone to the guys from the comic shop.
You did the right thing by calling us. Does your brother sleep a lot?
Yeah, all day.
Does the sunlight freak him out?
He wears sunglasses in the house.
Bad breath. Long fingernails.
Yeah, his fingernails are all a bit longer. He always had bad breath, though.
He's a vampire, all right.
All right, here's what you do. Get yourself a good, sharp stake and drive it right through his heart.
I can't do that. He's my brother.
Okay, we'll come over and do it for you.
No!
You better get yourself a garlic t-shirt, buddy, or it's your funeral.
Sam looks around at a loss. Next, Michael, asleep, drifts upwards and his face presses against the surface. He wakens, then looks down, only to find that he is on the ceiling. He feels around to turn himself over, then with great effort, tries to get back down. He swims through the air, and in an attempt to open his window, smashes everything on his desk. Sam hears the commotion from his own room, then the phone rings.
Hello?
Sam, is everything all right?
Mom, I think we have to have a real long talk about something. Nothing, nothing.
Listen, just who's making that noise?
Mom, I can't talk about it on the phone. It's about Michael.
Don't listen to him, Mom. He doesn't know what he's saying. Sam doesn't know what he's saying.
Mom!
Shut up, Sam.
Mom, help! He's gonna get me!
Oh, my God!
Sam!
Mom! He's gonna kill me!
Honey, I'm coming!
No, no,
tell him
I'm coming! Get away! No! No, Mom!
Max is sipping wine in the restaurant, then notices Lucy running across the road and getting into her car. Next, Michael is trying to get into Sam's room.
I'm your brother, Sammy! Help me! Sammy, open up!
Sam considers for a moment, then goes toward the window as Michael floats outside.
Please. Please!
Sam unlocks the window and Michael tumbles into his arms.
What about Mom?
Just don't tell her anything.
I don't know, Mike. It's not like getting a D in school or something, you know?
We're gonna work this out. I'm gonna work this out. You trust me, okay, Sam?
Sam!
Okay.
Sam! Sam!
Lucy runs up to the house.
Sam! Sam, are you all right? Oh, you had me scared to death.
Okay, Mom, I was reading a horror comic, and I thought I saw someone on my window, but I guess I just got a little carried away, that's all.
You got carried away by a comic book?
It was a scary comic, Mom, I'm sorry.
You know, I just about had it with the both of you. You know that?
Sam looks at the floor.
What is this mess? You spill milk all over the kitchen floor and don't even bother to clean it up?
Well, I didn't spill it, Mom.
You people, the refrigerator door's wide open. Are we just trying to refrigerate the whole neighborhood? You know, it's not fair. I would like to have a personal life, too. Where's Michael?
He went to bed early, Mom.
As Grandpa's car pulls into the driveway, Michael waits in the shadows on his bike. As Grandpa goes to the house, Michael rolls off silently into the night. Next, Lucy's room.
Can I sleep in here with you tonight?
In here? Huh? You sure you're all right?
I'm fine. It was a real scary comic, that's all. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. You been eating pizza?
No, why?
Woo! You smell like garlic.
Sam ties his dressing gown tighter to hide the garlic necklace he is wearing. Next, Max has just gotten out of his car and strolls down the pathway to his house, dotted with lamps. He looks around to see where the noise is coming from, then walks faster towards his house. He comes through a flowered arch and stops.
Who's there? Hello, Thorn. Is that you, Thorn? Is that you making all that noise?
Suddenly he is struck by something. It is a bat-shaped kite. Max picks it up, then looks around. The lamps around the garden go out, and motorcycle headlights appear in the distance. Next, Michael is rushing into David's abandoned cave with a torch.
Star!
He pulls back a hanging drape to see if she's there.
Star!
He puts the torch into the bonfire. Star is watching him from a distance. Michael picks up the bottle of blood, slowly, then hurls it away. Star gets up.
I'm over here, Michael.
What's happening to me, Star?
Michael.
What's happening to me, Star?
Michael. Michael, I can't tell you. I don't know how to help you.
What's happening?
They kiss.
The last fire will rise behind those eyes. Black house will rock. Blind boys don't lie. Immortal fear.
In bed, Michael pulls down a strap of Star's top from her shoulder. She has her hand on his chest. They kiss again, surrounded by candles. They slowly lay down together. The dawn sky appears. There are thick clouds, but above them is a pure blue sky, gilded with the orange morning sun. The sea is calm as David and his gang return to the cave. Michael is asleep next to Star, but wakens at the noise. He sits up and observes the cave, then notices the bandage on his cut hand. He slips it off, only to find that there is no wound anymore. Next, Michael is back home as Lucy waits. Michael slows.
Hey, aren't we friends anymore?
Sure.
Sure. Does that mean, we are, or,
We are.
We are? Well, then let's act like friends. Let's talk. Michael, take off your glasses.
He takes them off, but looks away.
Michael, look at me.
He glances momentarily.
If there's a girl...
I'm tired, Mom.
We could talk about...
I'm tired.
We could talk about anything you wanted to talk about.
I have more serious things in my mind than girls in school. There's things I'm dealing with that you can...
Things I wouldn't understand.
He stares, then walks off into the kitchen where Grandpa and Sam are. Lucy deflates, defeated.
Hey. Looks like I wasn't the only one got lucky last night, huh?
Did you take care of everything, Michael?
Michael's expression doesn't change. Then he walks off upstairs. Sam is pensive. Next, Lucy and Sam pull up at Max's house by the sea.
What's the wine for? My apology to Max for running out on him last night. Which young man you should be making?
Mom.
She walks up to the gate, then turns back to Sam.
Honey, I better bring this up to the house or somebody's just gonna take it.
All right, I'll be here.
She closes the gate behind her and walks up the pathway. Sam is reading the vampire comic and turns to a page entitled Hounds of Hell. At that moment, Thorn appears in front of Lucy.
Hi, Thorn!
Terrified, Lucy turns and runs away. Lucy desperately scrambles over the gate as Thorn rips a piece out of her dress. She falls onto her back, breathing heavily, but Thorn breaks the wood of the gate trying to get out. Sam and Lucy run to the car. Next, the comic book shop.
So then the dogs started chasing my mom like the hounds of hell and vampires everywhere.
We've been aware of some very serious vampire activity in this town for a long time.
Santa Carla's become a haven for the undead.
As a matter of fact, we're almost certain that ghouls and werewolves occupy high positions at City Hall.
Kill your brother. You'll feel better.
Look, guys, my brother's not a bloodsucker. Look, it says here that if you kill the head vampire, all half vampires will return to normal. Guys, if my brother's a vampire, believe me, he's only half.
Does your brother know who that vampire is?
No, I don't think so.
Then you'll have to kill him. And if you don't, then we will.
This all started when my mom went to work at Max's video store. Max never comes in till after it's dark. The dog who chased my mom this morning was his. Here, listen to this. Vampires require a daytime protector, a guardian, to watch over them as they sleep. Fierce dogs. The hounds of hell are often employed for this purpose.
No shit.
Yeah, well, what happens if my mom is dating the head vampire? You guys can nail him and save Santa Carla. Truth, justice, the American way triumphs. Thanks to you two.
We'll check out Max.
Next, Michael, with an anxious expression, slowly zips up his jacket and puts out a candle with his fingers. In the shadowy hallway, he sees Sam peering through his door.
Sam
shuts and locks the door. Next, Grandpa and Lucy.
Hey, smells good. When do we eat?
I told Max, 8 o'clock.
Max, we gotta have company again.
Again? Dad, you haven't had company in this house since Mom died 8 years ago.
Right, now we're gonna have company again.
Michael, Max is coming to dinner. I'd like you to meet him.
I can't, I have plans.
Oh, Michael. No, things are gonna change around this house when school starts.
Michael opens the front door and Max is there.
Hey, how you doing? You must be Michael, right?
He nods.
And you must be Max.
Right. How are you?
Michael coldly shakes his hand.
Well, you're the man of the house, and I'm not coming in until you invite me.
You're invited.
Thanks very much.
Max enters as Michael stares. Grandpa also watches from his garage. Inside, Max, with a bunch of flowers, finds Lucy.
Come in.
Is it all right for the guests to see the food before dinner?
Oh, no, you're thinking of the groom not seeing the bride before the wedding.
Oh, yeah, I always get those confused. Thorne sends his apologies.
Oh, well, tell him I'm walking again.
He promises to behave if you come back.
Oh, but that's sweet.
Max kisses Lucy on the lips.
Mom, these are my dinner guests, Edgar and Alan, the Frog Brothers.
Oh, I didn't know you were having guests.
Well, Mom, you know, if we're in your way, we can go eat some peanut butter
and dry
in the kitchen.
No, there's plenty for everybody. Max, this is my son, Sam, and Edgar and Alan Frog.
They nod severely.
Lucy, this looks terrific.
Well, I hope it tastes good.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Boy, somebody around here has bad breath.
All three boys stare meaningfully at Max. He notices, confused.
Nanook, would you quit breathing on me?
Nanook, get upstairs. Go on.
Nanook leaves. Meanwhile, Edgar nods to Alan, who nudges Sam.
You want some Parmesan cheese on that?
Yeah, Sam. Thank you very much.
Sam grated the cheese himself.
Ah.
My son.
Sam feigns embarrassment. Max spoons the cheese all over his food.
Another budding chef in the family.
The boys watch as he eats.
Are you all right?
No, it's not cheese, it's garlic.
But you hate garlic, don't you?
No, I like garlic. It's just a little much. It's raw garlic.
Garlic? How did that happen?
Guys, he likes garlic.
Sorry.
Here, quick, drink some water.
Sam throws water at him.
Does it burn?
Burn? What are you, nuts? It's freezing.
Oh, look at your suit, Max, and your pants. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Darkness.
Gosh. Now what?
Must be circuit breaker, Mom.
He's not glowing.
I know. Hit the light.
Max's reflection in a mirror appears as the lights return.
Sam, what has gotten into you tonight?
I think I know what's going on around here tonight.
You do?
Yeah. I know what you're thinking, Sam, but you're wrong.
I am?
Yeah. I'm not trying to replace your father or steal your mother away from you. I would just like to be your friend, that's all.
Good night, Lucy.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Max, I'm so sorry.
Major mistake.
Our batting average isn't terrific, is it? 0-2.
You were so sweet to him just now, really. I don't know what got into him. He's not like that.
Well, I'll tell you, kids Sam's age need discipline. Otherwise, they run all over you.
He doesn't run over me.
Protecting mother. Listen, let's try it once more. Dinner, my house, tomorrow night. I'm cooking.
Okay.
They kiss, then Max leaves. Grandpa is still watching curiously.
Bye.
Next, Michael is at the fairground. He paces angrily towards David and grabs him by the collar.
Hey, whoa!
Where is she?
David blows smoke at Michael.
Take it easy, Michael. Where's Star? David?
Michael, you ever want to see Star again? You better come with us now.
Michael lets David go and watches him walk off questioningly. Next, the bikes pull up and the gang climb into a tree. They watch a beach party where teenagers are dancing and drinking. The gang smile excitedly as Michael watches the scene from his bike.
Michael! Over here.
Come on, Michael.
You don't want to miss this.
Michael dismounts his bike and jogs to the tree to join the gang.
Initiation's over, Michael. Time to join the club.
David appears, grinning evilly with a pale white face, yellow eyes, and long fangs. The rest of the gang look the same. They are vampires.
Hi, Michael.
They descend onto the party, throwing the teenagers violently to the ground and dragging them away. Michael watches, breathing heavily with horror. The gang bites and rip the teenagers apart. Blood spurts everywhere. Michael looks up and his eyes are also unnatural. He watches as the gang throw the dead bodies onto the bonfire, as if to impress him, and he wipes his mouth hungrily. Then he tries to pull himself away, falls out of the tree, and rolls onto the sand helplessly. David and his gang finally appear above Michael.
So, now you know what we are, now you know what you are. You'll never grow old, Michael. And you'll never die. But you must feed.
Leering, David runs his finger from his mouth to his neck. Michael pushes his head into the ground with anguish. Next, Sam wakens in bed and sees another stuffed animal next to him. He puts the animal into his cupboard, now full of stuffed animals. As he closes the door, he sees Michael.
Ah! It's okay. I know who I am now, Sam.
Don't kill me, Mike. I'm basically a good kid, so just don't kill me. I can help you. Just tell me who the head vampire is. I thought it was Max, but I was wrong. Just work with me, and I can help you. You'll be okay.
Michael pushes the window open. It's Star.
It's that girl from the boardwalk. Is she one of them?
I have to talk to you. Can I come up?
No! You shut the window and lock your door.
Star suddenly appears next to Sam anyway.
She's one of them! And don't tell me, it doesn't make her a bad person, Mike!
You know where David took me tonight, don't you, Star?
Who's David?
Yes, it's my fault. If you hadn't met me, if I hadn't liked you, I tried to warn you.
It was that night in the cave, wasn't it? That wasn't wine they gave me to drink. It was blood. That was David's blood.
You drank someone's blood? Are you crazy?
I'm just like David now, Star.
No, you're not. You're like Laddie and me. We're not one of them.
Until you make your first kill.
Why didn't you kill me last night?
You're supposed to be my first. That's what David wanted.
Why? Because you care so much about me.
Yes, I do.
She puts her hand to Michael's face, but he abruptly pushes it off. Sam watches from beneath his duvet.
What are you doing here? What do you want from me?
I wanted to tell you that it's not too late for you. But for me, it gets harder and harder to resist. I'm weak.
Why did you come here tonight, Star?
I was hoping you'd help Laddie and me.
He pushes her away and turns in disbelief. Star disappears, then Michael runs to the window.
Star! Don't kill anybody until we get back to you!
What are you doing?
I got connections.
Sam dials the phone. Next, the Frog Brothers ride up to Sam's house, dressed in camouflage with equipment tied to their backs. Sam lets them in.
Where's Nosferatu?
Who?
Prince of Darkness.
Nightcrawler, the Bloodsucker.
El Vampiro.
Mike! They're here!
Outside, Grandpa is fitting a large, sharp wooden pole into the ground for a fence. He sees the boys driving away in his car.
Hey, Grandpa! Let out David borrow your car!
He looks on, surprised. Next, the car speeds along a track which leads to the abandoned cave by the sea where David and the vampires live. They stop in a cloud of dust and the Frog Brothers jump out.
Weapons check!
Sam helps Michael out, who is weakened by the sun.
How much going down there?
I'm going.
Look, this isn't a comic book, Sam, and these guys are brutal killers.
So are the Frog Brothers.
Check me.
Look, who would you rather go down there with you? Them or me?
If something happens down there, I'm not gonna have the strength to protect you.
Well, this time I'll protect you, bud. Even though you're a vampire, you're still my brother.
Listen! Just so you know, if you try to stop us or vamp out in any way, then I'll stake you without even thinking twice about it.
Chill out, Edgar.
Yeah, come on. Where'd you say you met these guys?
They zealously enter the cave.
Holy shit!
Vampire Hotel!
They find Star sleeping.
Here's one for the escaper, man!
Don't you touch her! You stay away from her!
Come on, vampires have such rotten tempers. Star, the rest of them gotta be around here someplace. Let's find them.
Look, there must be some over here.
Star.
Look up there, man. You gotta look everywhere.
I'm taking you out of here.
No, take Laddie first, please.
Laddie is sleeping.
I feel a draft. I think there's something up here.
Let's check it out, Sam.
Come on.
They climb.
Let's go.
I'll be right back, Mike.
I hope.
Come on, Sam, let's go. Move, Alan, move.
They crawl through a narrow passage.
Flies. We're on the right trail. Flies and neon dead go together like bullets and guns. Come on.
Outside, Michael is carrying Laddie to the car. Meanwhile, inside, Sam and the Frog Brothers are still crawling.
What's the smell?
Vampires, my friend. Vampires.
Sam looks around fearfully, only to be dragged off by one of the brothers. Michael covers Star's face and carries her away while the boys finally enter a small cavern.
Come on!
It's freezing in here! Come on, guys, looks like a dead end. Let's head back, huh?
They must have hidden the coffins around here someplace.
There's nothing here. Let's go, guys.
Jesus!
The torches reveal the vampires hanging upside down from the roof, asleep like bats.
I thought there were supposed to be coffins.
That's what this cave is. It's one giant coffin.
Right now, they're at the most vulnerable.
Easy pickings. Remember, you just have to kill a leader, huh?
We don't know which one the leader is. I guess we'll just have to kill them all.
We'll start with the little one. First come, first staked.
What was that? A little vampire humor? It wasn't funny.
No! Don't even!
Good night, blood sucker.
No!
He stabs the stake straight through Marco's chest. He roars and spurts blood all over the boys. The others wake up furiously as Marco falls to the ground. The boys scramble away terrified as David and the other vampires pursue. David grabs Sam's foot and tries to pull him back through the tunnel. The Frog Brothers desperately pull the other way. Sam fitfully makes the sign of the cross with his fingers. David's hand reaches a chink of sunlight and it bursts into flames. He recoils in pain and anger. The boys run off as David's blackened hand smokes and a tear falls from his eye.
Mike, start the car!
Mike! Start the car! Mike!
Sam tries to wake the sleeping Michael.
Man, we lost it.
Shut up.
We unraveled in the face of the enemy.
It's not our fault. They pulled the mind scramble on us. They opened their eyes and taunt.
I'll drive. We don't ride with vampires.
Fine, stay here.
They look around nervously.
We do now.
Yeah. Come on, Sam, let's get out of here. Burn rubber.
Sam reverses towards a cliff, then brakes sharply.
Christ! Burn rubber does not mean warp speed.
The car races away from the cave. At home, they carry Star and Laddie in, but Nanook is there barking.
Cool it, Nanook!
Your dog knows a flesh eater when he smells it.
Take him outside, Sam. Come on, Nanook.
As they rush upstairs, Grandpa appears.
Michael. You know the rule about filling up the car with gas when you take it without asking?
No, Grandpa.
Well, now you do.
He leaves and the boys rush upstairs to lay Star and Laddie on the bed. Sam enters after.
We definitely blew plan A.
Time to activate Plan B.
Okay, what's Plan B?
We don't have one yet. We only have 2.5 hours to come up with one.
Why? What's in 2.5 hours?
The sun will go down. They'll be looking for us.
The Frog Brothers drag Sam away as Michael sleeps in the corner. Next, Sam finds Lucy in town.
Mom!
But I know this is... Sam, what are you doing with the fire truck?
Mom, listen, I gotta tell you something. It's real important. Shh. Santa Carla's crawling with vampires, Mom.
Excuse me.
Mom, I'm serious. Listen, Edgar staked when it was screaming and fizzing. It was wrong. Look, Mom, there's evidence on my sweater.
Oh, great.
Mom, you gotta tell someone.
It's me too. Come on, honey.
Mom, you gotta tell someone.
Yeah, this isn't funny.
I'm not kidding, Mom. They're coming to the house as soon as it gets dark.
Okay, stop it. Right now. Just stop it.
Mom!
No, not another word. I don't believe you're doing this. I'm going to see Max tonight, and you're trying to ruin it for me.
No, I'm not.
Honey, there's nothing wrong with Max. I don't know why you don't want me to see.
I'm not talking about Max. Right the hell with Max.
Lucy is shocked.
I'll deal with you later, young man.
Sam looks down as Lucy walks off.
Mom.
No. Guys, we're on our own.
Good. It's just the way we like it.
Sam and the Frog Brothers ride through the town and drop their bikes at a church. Inside is a baptism. Everyone looks back shocked as they charge in. They ignore the disgusted people and fill up bottles with holy water. Alan gives the thumbs up sign as they leave. Next, at home, Sam finds Grandpa.
Grandpa? The widow Johnson called. She said to pick her up at 7 instead of 8, okay?
We got a date tonight?
I guess so. She said not to be late.
Yeah, I better get cleaned up then, huh?
The sun is lowering as Grandpa drives away. The boys wait for him to go, then start pushing furniture against windows and locking doors. They set a fire in the hearth. Sam smashes up cloves of garlic, then they fill the bath with holy water. Sam brings the garlic and tips it in. Then they fill water pistols with the holy water. Next, Star and Michael are talking.
They'll be coming for Laddie and me, won't they?
They'll be coming for all of us.
Laddie, wake up.
Sunset at the fairground. The sky is burning orange as the rides clatter along and the last surfers leave the water. The sun sets over the horizon and it is dark. At the abandoned cave, all is quiet until David suddenly wakes up. Vampires leave and cross the dark sea, then the fairground. Next, Lucy is at Max's house having dinner.
Thorne, stop that.
What's the matter, Lucy?
Oh, just old memories coming back.
No, seriously, why are you so jumpy tonight?
No, well, it's something Sam... He came into the store and, you know, it was just a kid's imagination, I'm sure, but he seemed so sincere, but it's insane.
Tell me. I promise not to laugh. Honest.
Back at home, Nanook is tied up outside whilst everyone else is inside.
I think I should warn you all. When a vampire buys it, it's never a pretty sight. No two bloodsuckers go out the same way. Some yell and scream, some go quietly. Some explode, some implode. But all will try to take you with them.
Outside, the wind picks up and Nanook becomes alert. The rotary washing line creaks as it spins. Nanook barks as the vampires approach, and Sam rushes to bring him inside.
Look! Let him outside! Don't go out there! Stop him! Sam! 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 Sam!
Sam, come back!
No way, Sam!
Come back! Sam, come back!
Enough!
He tries to untie Nanook.
Come on.
Michael runs out to help. Michael unties the nook as the vampires close in. Michael, Sam and Nanook run towards the door. Michael and Sam both slip over, but get up again quickly and run. They finally get to the door and slam it behind them.
Take them upstairs! Go! Come on, move it!
They rush upstairs as one vampire breaks through the fireplace. He swings on a bar and kicks Michael in the face, smashing a chandelier in the process, which throws sparks everywhere. Meanwhile, the others run into Sam's room and slam the door.
I say we terminate them right now!
Star runs fearfully to the bathroom with Laddie, followed by the Frog Brothers. They end up back in Sam's room, but a vampire jumps out.
You're mine!
He smacks the pistols away.
You killed Marco!
Yeah! You're next!
No, you're next!
They back into the bathroom. The vampire sees the bath full of garlic and laughs.
Garlic don't work, boys!
Dry holy water, death breath!
Edgar throws water at the vampire's face. As they topple to the floor, the vampire's face burns and smokes. He recovers, but then the Nook runs in and jumps at the vampire, pushing him into the holy water bath. He burns up agonizingly as the Frog Brothers holding each other in fear watch. They get up and peer into the bath, but the vampire sits up, his face smoking and skin melting. The brothers fall to the floor again, terrified. The vampire's hand slips down the bath enamel as he dies. The water, now full of blood, spins down the plug. The vampire's skeleton as the water vomits out all the sinks and pipes in the house, spraying everything with blood. Next, Sam is trying to wake Michael up.
Mike!
Michael won't wake, and Sam looks around the dark room with fear. He crawls across the floor to switch on a light which has toppled over. He points it at the ceiling and looks around uneasily. He leans back down to Michael.
Mike, wake up.
Just then, a vampire jumps down and grabs Sam by the face. He flies him up to the roof. Sam fumbles in his pocket for his water pistol and fires it into the vampire's eyes. He drops Sam as his eyes burn. Sam runs to get a bow and arrow and aims it at the vampire. He shoots as the vampire jumps and it collapses onto the floor. With trepidation, Sam goes towards the fallen vampire. But it gets to its feet.
You miss, sucker!
Once, pal.
Sam fires again and the arrow pierces the vampire's body. It stumbles back into the hi-fi, which sparks and electrocutes it violently. The vampire shakes and screams, then it explodes in a mass of blood. Sam and Michael watch its severed hand fall to the floor and see its limp body smoke and spark. Sam grins.
Death by stereo.
They run upstairs and stop to see the kitchen filled with spraying blood.
Come on.
Sam continues up, but Michael hesitates. As he starts running, David swoops down at him and pushes him down the stairs. Disarmed, Michael searches for David, who swoops again and cuts his face. Next, the Frog Brothers jump out at Sam mistakenly.
One of them downstairs with a bow and arrow.
All right, Sam. We trashed the one that looks like Twisted Sister.
Totally annihilated his night stalking ass. Well, Nanook helped a little. Right, Nanook.
That
to all vampires. Maximum body count. They're awesome monster bastards.
The meanest.
The baddest.
Suddenly, Laddie, whose fangs are out, explodes from under the mattress, sending fluff and debris everywhere. The boys jump back in terror. Laddie runs to the door and slams it.
Holy shit! The attack of Eddie Munster!
Get him!
Please stop! Get away from him! You just stay away from him! He's just a little boy.
Laddie swipes at them aggressively from behind Star. Next, Michael is still hunting David. He jumps out again and punches Michael, then disappears.
You afraid to face me, David? Huh?
Come on. I tried to make you immortal.
You tried to make me a killer!
He smacks Michael again. Michael looks up, his nose bleeds, his face pale and eyes yellow again.
Are a killer.
Michael licks the blood, then jumps at David. They meet in midair and throttle each other. Michael tries to push David towards some deer heads with sharp antlers. David looks at Michael.
My turn.
David flies Michael towards a pile of antlers, but Michael grabs a beam and swings away.
You join us.
Never.
It's too late. My blood is in your veins. Soul is mine.
Michael lets go of the beam and smashes David into two prongs on the wall, which impale him. Michael watches as he smokes and writhes. Bathed in red light, Michael looks to the sky with his yellow eyes in relief and sadness. Star runs downstairs.
Michael!
She runs to Michael and sees David lying dead with the prongs through his chest. Michael pulls her into a corner.
Mike!
Don't let them see me like this.
Michael!
Sam and the Frog Brothers see David too.
Get away, Sam.
Michael drunk.
I said get away!
Outside, Max and Lucy return.
What's the big deal? You destroyed the head vampire. It's all over.
Nothing's changed.
He's right, I don't feel any different.
And there's still one more.
Max and Lucy run to the door.
Sam? Michael?
I'll handle Mom. Come on, go. Don't let her see any of the bodies.
Max walks towards where David is impaled and touches his face as Star and Michael watch. He appears shocked.
Michael.
I'm sorry, Lucy. This is all my fault. David and my boys misbehaved. I told you, boys need a mother.
Max, what are you talking about?
I knew it. You're the head vampire.
Sam, don't start this again.
You're the secret that David was protecting.
Who's this?
Well, you passed the test.
Don't ever invite a vampire into your house, you silly boy. It renders you powerless.
Did you know that?
Of course. Everyone knows that.
Has everyone gone crazy here? What's the matter with all of you?
It was you I was after all along, Lucy.
What?
knew that if I could get Sam and Michael into the family, there's no way you could say no.
Where's Michael?
It was all going to be so perfect, Lucy.
Lucy is speechless.
Just like one big happy family.
Star watches as Lucy and the boys fearfully step back.
Your boys? And my boys?
Great. The blood-sucking Brady Bunch.
But I still want you, Lucy.
Max reveals his true vampire form.
I haven't changed my mind about that.
Michael appears.
I didn't invite you this time, Max.
Michael runs at Max, who throws him up at the wooden roof beams. Star runs at Max with a pole, but he throws her off. The Frog Brothers attack, but are also pushed away violently. He turns to Lucy.
Don't you touch my mother!
Sam runs at Max, who instantly gets him in a headlock. Max extends his hand to Lucy.
Don't fight, Lucy. It's so much better if you don't fight.
Mom! Mom, don't! Mom! Don't do it, Mom! Mom, don't do it!
Sam.
Mom, no! Mom, no!
Sam.
Mom! Mom!
Max looks up, distracted. Grandpa's car crashes through the wall and has obviously crashed through the fence he built too, as giant logs of sharpened wood are piled on the bonnet. Michael pushes Max into the car's path and he is impaled with a log through the heart. He bursts violently into flames as everyone dives for cover. The Frog Brothers watch morbidly and Grandpa shields his eyes from the clouds of black dust gathering from the hearth. They begin to stand as the dust settles. Grandpa slowly gets out of his car. Michael and Star sit up and open their eyes and realize they are back to normal. They embrace as Star cries with joy. Laddie, also back to normal, runs downstairs excitedly.
It's over. Star, stay! Laddie!
He jumps into her arms.
Is everybody okay?
My boys.
How much do you think we should charge him for this?
Grandpa walks away. Lucy notices.
Dad!
She, Michael, and Sam follow him.
Dad?
Grandpa opens the fridge, takes out a root beer, and drinks.
Dad, are you alright?
He gulps his drink thirstily.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach. All the damn vampires.
Lucy, Michael, and Sam appear stunned. Grandpa closes the fridge, and they are left in the darkness. The end.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange, yeah. When you're strange, strange.
but you misread.